Support for this public radio podcast comes from Bose. Bose sound in a portable iPod speaker system. Learn more about the SoundDock portable music system at Bose.com.
Hey, thanks for dropping by. This is Music Heads, presented by 89.3 The Current from Minnesota Public Radio. It's our little roundtable discussion about new music, where a couple of colleagues and I each bring in a new CD to discuss and find out if, in fact, it's working for us. Programming is supported by Rosedale Center, featuring many new restaurants and stores, including Potbelly Sandwich Works, Chipotle, DSW Shoes, Rocco Altabelli Salon and Spa, and Lucy, myrosedale.com. I'm Bill DeVille. I'm joined by our evening host, Mark Weed, is in the house.
Hi, hey, Mark. Good to be back, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you back. It's been a little while. And we're proud to welcome overnighter and radio free current host, Jill Riley. It's been a long, long time.
Bill and Mark.
Mark, why don't you go first?
Me first?
Yeah.
Okay. First. Well, I brought in what I've decided this week, if it's not there already, under Wikipedia for cult band. You should have Ween, because it's kind of the definition of a cult band. They even have their own god figure, the Boognish, that has its own emblem, which is a crazy, like, grinning round face with pointy hair, which they've kept as their symbol ever since their debut, which is in 1990. And it had a local connection because it was on Twin Tone
That's
Records.
That's right. Twin Tone back in the late 80s, early 90s.
That's right. 90 was when it was released. God, Ween, Satan, The Oneness was the title of that. And they've been kind of working on that theme ever since. We could devote a whole Music Heads to trying to decipher their career. But they're back with a brand new album. It's called La Cucaracha. And if anything can be said about Ween, it's that they're theatrical. And I love the way that they set this album up with the opening track. It's a great party tune. It's kind of reminiscent of the famous La Cucaracha tune. It's called Fiesta from Ween's new one, La Cucaracha.
You know what?
I'm thinking Elvis is going to be entering the building, or should I say Elvez is going to be?
Elvez. Oh no.
That's kind of a good segue, Bill, because in a sense, Gene and Ween of Ween, it's based around a duo of guys, have always been. They've had that kind of reputation of Elvez, where he can play anything in the style of Elvis. These guys can play anything in their style. They've gone through every conceivable genre that a rock band can play. They've done concept albums. They've made a country album.
Which was brilliant, by the way.
Yes, exactly. They've gone everywhere. I think they're highly regarded just as musicians and as a live band. And I love it that they round up this album with what, in my mind, is the best example of prog rock that we've had this year. Track 12, it's 11 minutes long. It's called Woman and Man. And it just gives basically the story of life. Huge guitar riff. This is what Dina has been doing live ever since they've been going. Extended guitar jams. This one seems to climax 5, 6, 7 times. You think it can't go any higher, any further, and it does. It keeps going on. It's a monster of a song, and then it ends gently into a collage of sounds that has some kind of softcore moans going on, and then it kind of melds into the sound of a suburban or ultra urban hip party. And the next song, Your Party, is basically a love song to the fact that he's married, he's got a great wife, and he goes to a friend's party. They do basically nothing, but they have a great time, which is possibly closer to their existence now than the rock opus Work, Woman and Man suggests, but it kind of encapsulates everything that this album is about.
Well, they've certainly come a long way since the days of huffing and bongs.
Well, that's hard, and I think sometimes that's hard for them to work with. I mean, I think they know self-consciously that they can't ever take themselves too seriously, because to a lot of people, they've been written off because they've been open about experimentation with hallucinogenic drugs, you know, and they have a certain... There is a theory that there aren't any female Ween fans, and maybe Jill, you can enlighten us there. Is that possible?
All right. When I was a freshman in high school, I received chocolate and cheese as a gift from a friend, and her name was Kristen, and she bought me the cassette, and she's like, you know, you want to come over and hang out with us. She was the biggest Ween fan that I ever met in my life. And I just walked into this apartment, I remember, and there was a party going on. And it was just the culture of people. It was a Ween group. And now, even when I run into people, or I talk to people on the phone here at The Current, and they're like, I want to hear Ween, and this is why. It's like, no, nothing ever changes. It's like, it's just, I call them Weeners.
Yeah.
Because it's like, right. It's the culture of Ween, and I love it.
Yep. And I knew... Before I used to live with a huge Ween fan who totally got their musicianship and their jokes. I have to say, there's a couple on here, always there's a couple of songs where you think they push it too far and they still keep doing it. I mean, track 6, With My Own Bare Hands, we couldn't play on the air. There would be no point in editing it. And again, as a woman, it strikes me as sexist. And they've been, you know, if it was coming from a hip-hop crew, I think we'd be, you know, outraged. We certainly wouldn't even consider it. And these guys seem to get away with that. I don't know why, but I'm glad they keep pushing that envelope. I don't always like it, but they're still doing it.
It's just the fact that what other band can get away with, like the HIV song, was right. The first shocker that I heard.
Well, and plus all those potty songs they've had over the years.
Yeah, and then I was just kind of desensitized to them. Sure. And eventually, I mean, they could say anything, and I would be like, yeah, that's funny because it's coming from them.
You know, but one thing I never, ever, ever thought in a million years, I never even entered my mind as being a possibility, is having David Sanborn play saxophone on the song Your Party. And I was reading about this, and Dean Ween tells Billboard that... We always said we'd never have horns on a song on a Ween record unless we can get David Sanborn.
And they did it.
I guess hell froze over.
We had the best time at your party. The wife and I, thank you very much.
That's perfect, because they've done things like this before. I love the fact that they put what would be extreme out there cultist behavior right up next to ordinary suburban living. They've had photos taken in these huge hand-knit, you know, white sweaters that make them look like... Actually, the guys from South Park, I think, ripped them off, because they did that in their publicity, too. The kind of quintessential 60s kind of...
The ridiculous portrait.
Yeah.
With like, the hand on the shoulder, and both looking slightly to the left.
Yes.
Boy, these guys have been through it all, though, if you think about it. The album Pure Guava, back when they were on a major label, they were on Elektra Records, and they had the minor hit, was it Push the Little Daisies?
Yes.
And you think about it, and now they're on Rounder.
Oh, no, they've survived that. And actually, they've done things. They actually put out, I think, their last album and some live albums the last 5 years. They've actually put out on the web. I mean, Radiohead just got a lot of publicity for that. And these guys were actually doing that. They were experimenting with going on their own and not having a label for a long time.
When do you get too old for this sort of thing? You know, here they are, they're probably in their upper 30s, low 40s. What, can they keep doing this in 10, 15, 20 years, Jill?
I don't know. I just think that their fans, the kind of the Ween culture, I just don't think it ages. If they are 60 years old, it'll actually get funnier.
Yeah, exactly.
That could be.
Wouldn't it be
funny.
Amazing seeing these guys at 60 playing these guitar solos?
But Mark, we're wrong about one thing. Woman and Man, that 12-minute epic, sounds to me more like REO Speedwagon than prog rock.
Really? That's interesting.
All right, is it working for you? We're talking about Ween and their new album, La Cucaracha. Go to MinnesotaPublicRadio.org, look for The Current, and click on Music Heads. Jill, how about your pick?
My pick, well, speaking of bands that don't take themselves that seriously, because sometimes that's just the kind of music that I want to hear. And it's not like I can go into some kind of stimulating intellectual discussion about the band Electric Six, so I'm not going to try to. Electric Six, the band from Detroit, they just released their fourth album called I Shall Exterminate Everything Around Me That Restricts Me From Being the Master. Did you get all that?
I do believe I did.
Yes. Yeah. A song that stands out to me on this record, and it's, I don't know that it's a great, great record, but it's got a couple standout moments for me, and one of those is a song that they have called Dance Pattern.
Oh, I make a mistake when I turn it on. Was my dance pattern right? Was my dance pattern wrong? Did I make a mistake when I sang a song? With my box too sexy, with my box too strong.
It's new music from Electric Six. Mark Weed, is this working for you?
Well, I have to say, I came at this album, like many people might, thinking, Electric Six. Well, the first album was funny.
Well, they had Jack White on that one too, right?
Well, that's
rumored.
Still open to debate, actually. I noticed that that's been denied. And I love that Dick Valentine says their lawyers said we should neither deny it nor confirm it.
Well, Dick Valentine to me sounds like he should be singing death metal.
Well, that's part of the fun of this as well. And I think for a lot of people, the whole band revolves around Dick Valentine. Yeah. Let's say that, because after their first album, which they had a pretty big hit with Danger High Voltage, and it was actually massive in the UK, and they're pretty big over there, the original band split up. And I must say, I fell into the camp thinking, well, you know, it's not really the Electric Six anymore. It's just Dick on his own. And I didn't really pay attention to the last two albums, to be honest. And I probably was in the position where if you hadn't forced me to sit down with this whole one, I never would have done it. But I have to say, surprisingly, I'm really, really pleased I did, because this is a hell of a fun album.
Wow.
I had a dream last night that you were going to say that, and then I woke up.
Was that a good dream or a bad dream?
No, it was a good dream, because I was afraid coming in here with Electric Six.
Yeah, I can understand, but I think you set it up perfectly. We're not supposed to take these guys seriously, and I've been reading a couple of articles, and I internally know that sometimes I can take myself a little too seriously and get a little too into being a music head and what is, you know, pushing the envelope all the time. And I think we need some good old rock and roll bands who are prepared to put on a show and sing about what rock and roll is all about. And that's exactly what these guys do. It's dance, sex, drugs.
McDonald's?
McDonald's.
McDonald's.
That's reality, you know? Okay. With a triple Z. That's awesome.
Now everybody down at McDonald's, a double bottle, McDonald's, and now they're hitting the bottle, and everybody cool.
The center is Dick Valentine, a.k.a. Tyler Spencer. I think the guy can write. He's got some great lines in here, and I actually think that he's assembled a stronger band now than they were when they had the debut album. I think they're much more, well, according to the credits, a lot of them write a lot of the stuff, which never used to happen. It was all Spencer. And I think a lot of them are really good musicians, and they have similar ways of kind of, you know, that tongue-in-cheek pomposity, kind of ripping off Queen, ripping off Kiss, doing the glam rock thing. And I think they do it well, more or less. I mean, my only comment is they shouldn't have gone to 16 tracks. That was way too long. But then when I read through, I could stand behind 8 and 9 of these. If they'd have pared it down to a 10-track album, I think this would have been killer.
No, I agree with that. If I want to listen to a rock album, and I'm a rock and roll girl, I'm either going to be lost after the first half hour, or I'm just going to want to switch it, or I'm just going to want to say, I would rather see this stuff live than sit and listen to a 16-track album. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got the disco, they've got the glam, they've got the pop. It's just kind of a mishmash of fun things, and I know that we're not supposed to say that. Like, I like this band or I like this album because it's fun. Well, sometimes I do, and that's the way it is.
Well, this CD is kind of fun. There's a few funny lines. Track 1, it's Showtime. get it on the floor, do things that make them adore you, show them why you were born, and put a little mustard on it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, but the one thing about the CD, it needs a little bit more than mustard. You know, like that Down at McDonald's number, I think that's mildly amusing, but I'll take Wesley Willis's Rock and Roll McDonald's over that anytime.
See, I was just going to bring that up. When I saw, before I listened to the song and I saw the title, I'm like, this isn't Rock and Roll McDonald's at all.
And track number four, Rip It, that's mildly amusing with the rhymes, commotion, notion, lotion, ocean, devotion, and of all things, Nova Scotia.
No, but that's good, and
that's funny to me,
because I can almost picture someone sitting there and thinking, what rhymes next? And just having a laugh to themselves over it.
Put me in motion, drink the potion, use the lotion, drain the ocean, cause commotion, fake devotion, entertain a notion, be Nova Scotian, drink the potion, put me in motion.
Song by song, it's all fine, but as an album, I have a hard time.
Oh, no. Yeah. In no way am I saying this is the best thing since Pet Sounds.
No.
Maybe the album is dead, Mark.
Maybe. They're celebrating hedonism as an alternative. We have to say they do make some vaguely political and philosophical statements. I don't want to make it all sound like it's Party Until We Drop. And I think they balance that really, really nicely. Especially the line sequence that starts off, if you live in Japan, and ends, if you work on TV, you're a liar. It was just genius.
We're talking about Electric Six. Is it working for you? Go to MinnesotaPublicRadio.org, click on the current, and look for Music Heads. My pick? Well, I don't know how much fun it is. Band of Horses are back with their second release. It's called Cease to Begin. Lots has happened since their debut, Everything All the Time, which was a huge record for me and for the current. Founding member and guitarist Matt Brook has left the band to form his own group, which is called Grand Archives. Band of Horses moved their home base from Seattle to Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Those changes seem to have affected the band and its sound. They sound more grown up, more than on the debut. The songs are more introspective and personal. Guitar generally still dominates the band's sound, along with the way up there with lots of reverb vocals of Ben Bridwell, who also plays bass in the band. One thing about the vocals, they're always very clear and easy to understand. Here's a taste of the song Ode to LRC.
In the love of the LRC, well, I knew I'd find something. A hundred stories sitting there to read. I got my funnels out, I put them all.
And I just love that line in the song, the world is such a wonderful place. It just gives you that sort of warm feeling. This album sort of lacks the epic splendor of the debut. There's nothing as great as, say, Weed Party or Funeral, but I still think it's quite good. Band of Horses, Cease to Begin is the name of the album. Jill, is this working for you?
It is working for me, and I like how you mentioned how it gives you that warm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the feeling that I get from Band of Horses. The first time I heard the song, The Funeral, I was like, I don't even know if they can top this song.
Oh, yeah, that was like hearing Nirvana for the first time.
It was,
almost.
And it's one of those kind of anthem songs, too.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Do You Realize by the Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
Like, I just,
another one of those.
Yeah,
exactly.
Those two just totally warmed my heart, which is very hard to do. But this song, Ode to LRC, I really, really like it. And I really just, like, love his voice. It's just, I don't know.
It's one of the few singers you hear that every single word comes out of, you just know the lyric the first time you hear it, and it just gets stuck in your head. Well, then again, it's not very difficult when you're talking about songs like Is There a Ghost, with the catchy and majestic lyric, or with the guitars going on there. And the line is, I could sleep when I lived alone, there's my ghost in my house, and that's really about all that's to the song. But it's true.
Exactly.
Fantastic song.
That's all there is to that song.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I'm not getting any warmth from this.
You get
album
nothing
at all.
From it, huh?
I get actually a coldness. I think they got the production is for me too slick and.
Well, the reverb thing is kind of the part of their sound. I think,
yeah,
you know?
I know, and his voice goes up there way too high too, and he.
Well, you like Wayne Coyne though.
Well, but Wayne, I don't know. Wayne can pull it off. He has soul. He doesn't go up there in quite such a slick way, and he doesn't say ooh ooh. A lot, as this guy does, Ben. I just don't know. Lyrically, I have to say, world is such a wonderful place is a great line.
Yeah.
But why?
We've heard it before, I know that.
Why? He never backs that up with anything in the song, and that one, I could sleep. The worst, though, the sun will always be around and around and around. I killed the wheelbarrow I borrowed. That's the best line on the album, because it's the only one that really makes me think, what?
Well, this... I really catch the vibe that he went through a nasty breakup in Seattle, moved to South Carolina, and that's kind of the gist of the album is kind of what I'm gathering. And that's maybe even why the simplicity of that song, Is There a Ghost?
I could sleep.
Maybe knowing the backstory, you can make that assumption, I think, if you sat down and listened to this album and listened
to
the
words.
I don't
even know if he had went through a breakup. I'm just assuming.
You wouldn't.
You're just making that part up.
Yeah, I don't know what story you would get from the lyrics. And he knows too many times the chord progressions are just so cliched. When I first sat down and listened to it, I knew where it was going to go. It kind of had a progression that's really familiar from my days loving Echo and the Bunnymen or Simple Minds that used to do this really, really well. And I don't think these guys pull it off. I don't know how much that is because Matt has left the band.
I think that's a pretty big loss. The vocals aren't even the same. Weren't the vocals kind of shadowed with Matt the guitarist as well on the first album? I think so. And I've seen nothing but good reviews for this album.
I
to be honest with you, I dismissed this album right out of the gate, and I kept listening, and it kept growing on me and growing more. And even the song Detlef Schrempf, you know, he was a legendary European basketball player, was a big star in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't get why.
Why?
What does that have to do?
Exactly. You listen to the song and tell me why it's called that.
I don't have any idea. And, you know, I thought you were going to have this great song to play next to Shootin' Hoops by G Love and the Special Sauce.
And then your heart got warmed.
Yeah, and then my heart got warmed. And
take a little walk when the worst is tears.
I don't know. I still think the song's kind of okay. It's kind of introspective, and it's kind of a grayish-sounding record for an autumn day.
Gray is perfect because it's just not there. I don't know. To me, it's a perfect sophomore slump. It sounds like, and that's a cliche in rock and roll because it happens a lot, and I think it's
happened. Well, there's Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah earlier this year, too, if you want to call that a slump.
Yeah, but at least we didn't call that grown up.
Yeah, that's true. But they look so tough with their beards and tats, don't they? We've been talking about Band of Horses. The album is called Cease to Begin. Mark, Jill, thanks for joining me for Music Heads.
Thanks for having us.
In this episode, we discuss Ween's new album, La Cucaracha, as well as Electric Six, I Shall Exterminate Everything Around Me That Restricts Me From Being the Master. I think I got that right. And Band of Horses' new effort, Cease to Begin. Thanks for checking it out. Subscribe to the podcast of the show by clicking on Music Heads when you go to the Currents page at minnesotapublicradio.org. The program is produced by Steve Seal. Michael Wells is the podcast production coordinator, and Julia Schrinkler manages the show's online discussion, which we want you to be a part of. Click on the Current at minnesotapublicradio.org, look for Music Heads, and then follow the links to join the discussion online. I'm Bill DeVille. We'll reconvene in another week for another installment of Music Heads, presented by 89.3, The Current, from Minnesota Public Radio.
I can't look at you any other way.